This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 here in St Kilda at the brand new Victorian Pride Centre.
Thank you, Tess. And we are. It's not open to the public right now.
Yes, it isn't.
But it will be soon. It was open briefly, but it'll be open again. Our next guest is Katie Allen. Katie is the member for Higgins, the federal seat of Higgins for the Liberal Party, also a paediatrician. And in a rare outbreak of bipartisanship this week, Katie co-authored an article in The Age with Mike Freelander from the Labor side, both paediatricians, and joining together to talk about how to protect school students from COVID. Good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Look, all the better, and I've got to get this off my chest before we start. It's a bit of a joke, but as you know, federal election next year.
Or this year, Macca.
Well, might be this year. Higgins and McNamara will be two seats that we'll cover, and again, invite yourself as the Liberal candidate for Higgins. We'll have a debate in the studio. Josh Burns is the sitting Labor member for McNamara. He'll do McNamara. So I want you to get that in the front of your mind coming up to the next election. It was great to do it last time, and my joke is that as yours and Josh's seats basically join, you're both in the target of the Greens. So I think you should run on a unity ticket with Josh to keep him out.
Yes, well, Macca, I did enjoy our debate, the Higgins debate, which is only 2 years ago, it's hard to believe,
yes.
And then even just a few months before that in Paran. So I've loved the debates you've hosted. I think they've been a great way for everyone to hear from the different candidates and make their own mind up about who they think's best to represent them.
And we're looking very forward to having you on again.
And it's not to... And sorry, I don't want people to think that I absolutely want to keep the Greens out. I believe in democracy, but I just thought the two of you could be on a unity ticket. There you go.
Well, you know, as you've heard from this piece, there's quite a lot of stuff that happens in Parliament that people don't know about that's bipartisan. And, you know, it's nice to be able to sort of ventilate that for people to hear that there is, there are things that go on behind the scenes. And Mike and I decided to come out loud and proud on this one.
Well, that's right. Katie, I'm just going to say, put it out here, you might need to stand back from your phone just a little bit. It's a little bit blurred, if that's okay.
Yeah
great. Katie, so tell us about this. So you both came out arguing very strongly that the mental health impacts of keeping children out of school are enormous, and that what we need to do is to start vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds. Now, the government's already come out and announced that. Otagi has signed it off. Government's announced it. Tell us why this is important. Is it true that 12 to 15-year-olds are super spreaders?
Not exactly. So in fact, what we did was we backed in the Murdoch Children's Research Institute report that was released last Monday. But it's probably worth saying that the Murdoch is my previous place of employment. That's where I was a research professor, and in fact I was head of population health there and as a paediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital. So, you know, I've been working for a long time with many of my colleagues across the sector, hearing from them about what their concerns are. So even though I've left my day job, I'm still in contact with the experts and of course constituents who've told me what they're concerned about. And it's very clear that COVID is now going to be sort of affecting the unvaccinated. And that doesn't matter what age they are. So we have always known that the highest transmission group is actually the 20 to 30-year-olds as the first highest transmission group, even with the initial Wuhan virus followed by the Alpha virus followed by now Delta. It's always been the 20 to 30-year-olds who are the highest transmitters, followed very closely by the 30 to 40-year-olds. Now, the only difference with Delta is we are seeing more children affected, not in as high rates as in adults, but more than before. And so the argument is we don't know whether the Delta virus is slightly different in its transmission or whether it is just that they are a group that are still unvaccinated, because it's worth remembering that across the country we're now getting much better vaccination rates. In Victoria, now we're just over 50% have their first dose. And in New South Wales, just over 62% have their first dose, and in both states, about 33% have their second dose. So things are moving very fast now with, 1.5 million doses a week. I think the record's about 250 doses a minute, so it's happening very fast. Yeah. And what Mike and I were worried about was that the kids might be left behind with regards to the conversation that the governments were having.
But it is now policy, though, isn't it? Government has agreed.
Yeah, so I think our lobbying has been effective, which is great. I mean, we had been talking behind the scenes, but what Mike and I wanted to do was to make sure it was clear this is about the kids and should be above politics. And we've been working, I've been working very closely with Minister Greg Hunt about making sure that the Murdoch report, landed well.
I think one of the things there, Katie, if I may, in this age group, predominantly they live with their parents. So in a lot of cases where the parents are vaccinated, to me I've always thought, well, hang on, why don't you vaccinate a household rather than having people that are vaccinated or not vaccinated in the same household? Do you have a view on that? I think
we've lost Katie.
I think we've lost Katie. We'll just get her back.
I thought she'd gone quiet there for a second.
While we're getting her back, there's a message here. The Coalition...
Hi.
Did you hear that, Katie?
I'm so sorry. It was my daughter ringing me. Sorry.
That's
I hung up on the wrong thing. I'm obviously a technophobe.
That's all right. I was wondering, Katie, the importance of vaccinating this particular group of kids. I understand that. I've always wondered, though... So, okay... Your household, there's yourself and your partner and a number of kids. So let's assume that you and your partner are vaccinated, but the kids are not. Was there ever any, in those discussions you have with the government and with Health Minister Hunt, was there ever a discussion about perhaps we should be vaccinating households rather than individuals in those households? Or is that sort of... just adding another strand to an already difficult bit of weaving.
So I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is, why didn't we predict that kids would be at risk now when they weren't last year? And the first thing to say is that the kids, last year was incredibly surprising, because with respiratory infections, usually they attack the very young and the very old. Just look at the flu, and that's why we have targeted vaccination for the under fives and the over 65s. So we'd always been it's always been very curious about about the virus in children, but there's also been concerns about these vaccines are new, and so because the companies themselves weren't testing the vaccines in the young, we didn't have that information. Now those tests were asked by various governments around the world to be undertaken, so they rapidly took 12 to 16 year olds and tested them. And that has been completed and rolled out. They haven't yet completed their testing for the under 12. So nowhere in the world is there a vaccine license yet for the under 12. But so we need to wait for those results.
Katie, I did see a report in The Age this morning, of all places, that looked at vaccination rates and this idea of living with COVID around the world. And the Israelis have been vaccinating people from the age of 6 upwards.
Well, I wasn't aware of that. That means that they're vaccinating in the absence of regulatory approval. And it's probably worth pointing out in Australia, partly because we've been so successful in aggressively suppressing COVID, but like every other country, such as New Zealand and South Korea, that have been aggressively suppressing through lockdowns and closed borders, there is very, very high vaccine hesitancy in our country. Mm. Now, it is falling very rapidly as people see, firstly, that the virus is spreading, but secondly, the only way out of these rolling lockdowns is through a vaccination program. So obviously Israel has decided to move past any regulation to understand and to roll out a vaccine. In Australia, our population has been vaccine hesitant. They like to hear that our TGA, which is regarded as world-class, has been across every single piece of information that's come in so that every vaccine that's offered by the government is safe and effective. So safety will not be taking a back seat. And we've had the time to make sure we do all of this thoroughly and carefully. So the point about our piece, Mike and My Piece, was we want parents to be comfortable that, yes, there is COVID in younger children, but it is not causing higher mortality. So it is not attacking children in a worse way, so they mustn't panic in that way, but that we also think vaccinating adults in the 20 to 40-year-old age group firstly benefits the adults themselves because they're the transmission group, but secondly, it benefits the children that are in their families or that they are teachers for or carers for, because often the 20 to 40-year-olds, they're the carers of children, whether it's professionally or from a familial point of view. So there's a secondary benefit of helping to stamp out transmission and helping to protect our children while we wait for the vaccines to be approved in the under 12 age group.
Katie, we've got a question here from a listener that Macca's going to read out.
Actually, we've got a lot of questions. What does Katie, it's a two-part question, Katie. What does Katie think of the freedom protests and also the small contingency of people who don't want vaccinations? So first, the protests, Katie, what's your view there?
Look, I've always been very disappointed in protests. I think there is other ways to make your voice heard. I think it's irresponsible. I can understand the anger that these people feel and the frustration, but this is not the pathway to keep everyone safe, and it's not the best way to make your voice heard, in my view. Now, luckily, there hasn't been massive super spreader events, but it is an accident waiting to happen, and I think the violence that has gone with these protests, anti-lockdown protests, should never be tolerated. So I hope they're a thing of the past. We need to do better as a combined set of governments, whichever level we are, to reassure people that we have the task at hand and to provide hope for them. Because I think these angry protests are coming from a place of loss of hope, and we need to provide that hope. And that's what this vaccination rollout is doing. And if you look at what the media pundits are saying, is if we stay on track at the speed of vaccination that we are doing, we are looking at opening up or getting to the 70% in the October-November period, or 70 to 80% for both doses. So they're looking very positive. We do need to keep the pressure on getting people to get that jab, whichever one they want, AstraZeneca and Pfizer, and whichever one they're eligible for. Go to your GP or go to your vaccination centre and get that jab, because that's the quickest way out of these lockdowns.
Are you surprised, Katie, by anti-vaxxers? I mean, I am. I always wonder how they drive their car any distance, because the earth is flat, apparently, and they might drive off the edge.
Look, as a paediatrician, I do have a lot to do with, people with lots of different opinions and views from me. And as someone who worked in food allergy, I would get people come to see me who had views that I didn't feel were scientifically based, but they were views they held very dear to them. So I would never make judgment about people's views. I've had medical and scientific training, but everyone comes to their own viewpoints for different reasons. And in fact, once I was on the hustings and someone came up to me who's a doctor and said, "I'm never going to vote for you, Katie, because you're a doctor." And I was really surprised by that. And she said, "I'm a doctor too." And I was like, "Now I'm even more surprised." And she said, "I won't vote for you because as doctors, we're trained to see both sides." And, you know, the funny thing, ironically, before I even thought about it, I said, "I see what you mean." But her point was, you can see both sides, you'll be paralysed as a politician, you'll be hopeless. And I really had to think about it, and I used the anti-vaxxer view. You know, that's how I thought about how I deal with it. Of course, as a doctor, I hear from all sorts of people about their differences of views. And I respect their views, but then I will tell them what I believe is the right outcome for them, and it's up to them to decide. And that's the way I'm as a politician as well. I'm prosecuting and advocating for what I believe is the right way forward. And in Higgins, there'll be 110,000 people with different nuances on their views of what we should be doing as a country. And I tell them I'm listening. But at the end of the day, I need to make a decision that I think is right for the good of our country. And I hope they believe I'm making the right decisions on their behalf. But when it comes to anti-vaxxers, we will always have a few percentage of people. It is actually quite a high percentage in Higgins. We've got a fairly high anti-vax rate. And they have viewpoints.
Higher in Higgins than in other electorates?
It is, actually, yes. It is a small hotspot. And they have views that are based on things that are not necessarily consistent with my scientific view of the world, but some of them are open to providing protections when it's appropriate. And there is a difference between someone who is an anti-vaxxer, which is based in a whole and rather complex group of views, compared to someone who is simply vaccine hesitant. Mm. And the vaccine hesitant group need to heed the information, put in a bipartisan way, that this vaccine rollout is always going to be voluntary, that it is safe. We'll always tell you any potential side effects. We'll be very, very open and transparent about that. But at the end of the day, it's their choice, and they are free, and it will be free for them to make the decision.
Katie, thank you for your time this morning. Yes. We're out of time, unfortunately. And as we do pass, are you in Canberra or are you participating in Parliament virtually this week?
I'm in Canberra, so I've just got another week to go before I can go home, and then I'll go into quarantine when I go home. Mm. So looking forward to seeing my family. But it's been a great privilege to be representing my community in Canberra, and there's a lot we've been getting done.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your time this morning,
Katie.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Tatanaka.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.